Thank you. That was wonderfully done. And I could not have done it without you, I promise. All right, turn to Romans chapter 6 for just a moment. Romans chapter 6. This is the kind of passage that we look at and we think, well, so what's so hard about this? Why would anyone ever have problems with this passage? Well, they shouldn't, quite frankly. But how many of us know people in our lives that don't believe that baptism is necessary for salvation? I mean, the majority, maybe, of the people that we know. So when we read Romans chapter 6, in our minds, we just think, well, what else is there possibly to say? And that is true. But we can use Romans chapter 6 and not just the first three or four verses to really get down and debate or to argue the case of Romans chapter 6. And I think this is a good skill to have. I've done this in lessons before, but I wanted to do it tonight and really kind of break it down. We're just going to be in Romans chapter 6. I'm going to allude to a verse in a moment, but otherwise you won't need to turn a page. We're actually going to look at this chapter of the Bible and break it down word for word. So we're going to start with verses 3 and 4. And when you or I would read a verse like this, we think, well, that's all you need to know. Someone has to be baptized for salvation. So let's look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. And come on, let's see if we work tonight there, Toy. Well, one more time. There we go. And I forgot to mention that verse. We may come back to it. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now, as I said right off the top, that's the kind of verse where we just read it and we go, well, what else? What other questions could you possibly have? Yet, I've read that verse to people, and they them clearly say, well, that doesn't mean baptism has anything to do with salvation. And your mind just explodes. You think, why would you say such a thing? How could you say such a thing? Well, let's look at the rest of the chapter, because there are some keys here to learning something about baptism, and that is this. Baptism is not, Peter tells us this, the washing of flesh from the body. Okay? It is, and we refer to it as washing away our sins because of Acts chapter 22, 16, Acts 2, 38. But I think more importantly, the more and more I study baptism, baptism is a moment. We talked about the assurance of salvation a little bit in Bible class today. I don't know how you could ever be assured of your salvation without being able to tie it to a moment. And that's what baptism is. Every one of us can know whether we've submitted to Christ in baptism. That is the moment when we become assured of our salvation. It's the moment of other things as well. We talked about this morning in Bible class. It's the moment that we're cleansed of sin and that the Holy Spirit begins to dwell in us as a cleansed vessel. But there are things in Romans chapter 6 that make it very, very, very clear that you don't want to be on the wrong side of this moment. That there is a before I am baptized and an after I am baptized. And which side of that I fall on matters as far as my salvation. And I want to begin in verse 15. Romans chapter 6 and verse 15. And we're not going to read quite the whole chapter. But we're going to look at some other things Paul says that don't mention baptism per se. But they tell us that baptism is necessary for salvation. So let's begin by reading verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Now, this is the second time Paul has said this in the same chapter, by the way. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? Well, now, someone might hear me say that and go, well, preacher, that doesn't prove anything. You haven't told me one thing about baptism being involved in my obedience and the fact that I'm serving either Satan or serving God. I can see that, but you haven't tied it to baptism. Well, I'm not done yet. Because Paul is talking about two states, right? And there is a difference. I am in one state. I am a slave to sin, Or I am in another state, I'm a slave to righteousness. Those two states can't coexist. There is a moment in which I am one, there is a moment in which I am another. Speaking of things that were said in Bible class today by members of the class, you cannot serve both God and mammon. You must choose. So when Paul says that we are obedient slaves, either to sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness, I must be one or the other. And there's a moment when I change from one to the other. Now, we know what the answer is, but this verse doesn't prove it yet. It will. Obedience sets us free. Many of us are familiar with Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But thanks be to God that you obeyed from the heart the form of righteousness entrusted to you, the form of doctrine, the King James says. We're very familiar with this verse, but it still doesn't answer to baptism. It talks about obeying, and we must be slaves to obedience. We just read that in verse 16. So we must be a slave to obedience. We must obey from the heart the form of doctrine to which we've been entrusted. But preacher, you haven't convinced me this is baptism yet. Well, let's read. Verse 17, but thanks be to God, and I've already quoted this in part, but thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin. Now remember from the verses we just read, that's the state we don't want to be in. You were slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now let's slow down right here. Because this is where we begin to pick up some ideas that we're going to tie back to baptism absolutely. Okay? So remember in 16, we're either slaves to sin or slaves to obedience. So now we come along to verse 18. We're set free from sin. Now that was the thing I was a slave to, right? So we're talking about I'm a slave to sin. I have to become a slave to obedience and righteousness. We're getting close to it here. He says, but having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now, verse 17 tells me how I did that. But verse 17 doesn't use the word baptism. Doesn't use the phrase born again. Doesn't use the phrase washed. Doesn't use the phrase clean. What's the phrase it uses? Obey. The gospel is something you can obey. If I learn that Jesus is the Son of God and God has given him a kingdom and declared him to be Lord, if God has said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, I have to obey that in faith. Still doesn't mention baptism, does it? So, but we're asking ourselves, we're setting up this set of facts. It's clear from what Paul says. Can I be a slave to sin and be right before God? No, I cannot. Can I change from being a slave to, can I be set free from sin and become a slave to righteousness? Yes, I can. Look down a little further in verse 20. Verse 20 tells us a little bit about the result of those states. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. There are a lot of people who won't become Christians because of that phrase, right? They don't want to be told what to do. They think, I can't stop sinning. They don't owe righteousness anything. They don't have any feelings for righteousness. They have no. They don't owe righteousness anything. They're free from righteousness. That sounds great when you're young and you think you're sowing your wild oats. But let me tell you something. You don't want to be there because the rest of this verse is going to really hurt your feelings. So when we were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time? Now here's where the worm turns. From the things of which you are now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free and become slaves of God, the fruit you will get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Now, preacher, you have told me that I need to be obedient, and you have told me that I need to be a slave of righteousness, and you have told me all these things because eternal life awaits, but you haven't told me how I do that. You've told me there's baptism, and you've talked about all these verses. There's not a word about baptism in any of these verses. So why are you telling me all these things, scaring me about the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life? Why are you telling me these things that lead to death? Why are you telling I should be ashamed of them? Why are you tying them to baptism? Where's your proof? We're not quite done yet. Look up now to verse 5 and 7. Because before you get there, forgive me, look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. How I get free of sin is I have been set free from sin. So all these things are dependent on me being set free from sin. How am I set free from sin? When am I set free from sin? Look at verse 5. We read verses 3 and 4 earlier. 5 clearly follows. 5 is clearly talking about baptism. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Well, we've arrived at it, have we not? If I want to be a slave to righteousness, if I want to the things that lead to eternal life, I want to be set free from sin. And you just told me the one who dies is set free from sin. Let's go. Let's do it. Are you telling me I have to get to the end of my life and I have to die to be right before God? No, but I'm telling you, you have to die. The key to it all was in the first two verses we read. Because the way I crucify the flesh, the way I die to sin, is I enter death. I enter death. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. You see now, hopefully, why we did the lesson in the order that we did. Verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? The one who's died has been set free from sin. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Here's where our faith-only friends go wrong. They die first. They die first. Well, what does your faith-only friend say about when they receive salvation? Before, during, or after baptism? Before. We've just shown from the Word of God that I have to die to sin. I have to die to sin to be set free from sin. I have to die. So how have they died? They have not. They are outside of God. To be saved, to be a slave to righteousness, to obey the form of doctrine to which we've been entrusted, I must die to sin. I don't die and then enter the water. I die when I enter the water. Because I join with the death of Jesus Christ. Again, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Book of Romans proves a lot of things. It proved we're saved by faith. But it also tells us the moment that we obey that form of doctrine. It tells us the moment we're set free. It tells us the moment we become a slave of righteousness. It tells us when we die to sin, when we enter the death of Jesus Christ. Just as Christ died first and then was buried and then raised. I don't die until I'm buried with Christ into his death and then I'm raised. Last verse of chapter 6. Wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So where are you? On which side of Christ's death are you tonight? If you're not on the right side of Christ's death, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.